Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
You look good. Thank you for having me back. I don't always get invited back. This is a special place for me. You're an answer to prayer. Long before you began, I was. You're an answer to prayer by a lot of people. This work is an answer to prayer by a lot of people. This is your 15th anniversary. I don't know if everybody knows that. Does everybody know that? Actually, probably May. I'm always late. Day late and a dollar short, you know. But, you know, you have your anniversary, and, you know, a few months later, Bob comes to celebrate it. It's kind of the story of my life. Not all of you know me. I heard a couple praise the Lord's under your breath there, but not all of you know me or know the background of this, but I thought it'd be kind of fun to recap your history a little bit. Somebody who has some talent and ability in these things, not me, needs to put it together in a little book, because the elders are getting old and decrepit, and one of these days they're going to be gone, and then no one will have the history. You'll have to call on me, one of the young people, to recount it for you. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We plowed around in this little portion of Scripture for the men's conference the other night. And frankly, I was going to speak on something else, and I thought, no, this is just a good little portion. So I sort of changed last night what I was going to speak on. And so I thought we'd poke around in here some more. I appreciate you praying for us in South Louisiana also. We have a pioneer work that began down there, much like this. In fact, it's the closest, your meeting is the closest to our meeting of any that I've seen, and I travel quite a bit. And I mean that in all the best ways. There's a real link. One of our men was up here on business, and I said, well, while you're there, go to Reidsville and check them out. And so he came. Lee Sandifer was here, I think, on a Wednesday night, maybe, huh? Maybe a Sunday morning. Anyway, and he came back and he said, it's like Slidell transplanted. Now, ours is not quite as big as yours, and ours is not quite as polished as yours, and those kinds of things. But it has the same spirit. You can't walk in Reidsville Bible Chapel or Slidell Bible Chapel and not feel the love of Christ. And I say that just as a compliment to you all. The Lord, God loves the world and gave his Son. Christ loved the church and gave himself. But all that love gets felt through people. And it takes people to reach a world with God's love. And that's what you feel when you come in Reidsville Bible Chapel. That's what you feel when you come in Slidell. And it isn't just about that. I mentioned the other night, I talked to a fellow in another place in the country. I asked how the work is going. He said, well, we're holding the fort. You know, if you hold the fort, you're going to die. You've got to reach out. Meet people where they are. Lost people typically are not going to wander into the church. They're going to be down on the streets in Antique Alley and things like that. And I praise the Lord for you all going down there the other day. They took me down there. It was like taking little Bobby to the park and letting him play in the sandbox all day. It was, for me, it was just great, you know. It was wonderful. And to have so many people doing it together. Verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he's using himself and Apollos as kind of little examples. And he says, for we, Paul and Apollos, and you and me, really, are laborers together with God. Ye, plural, in the South would say you all, are God's cultivated field. Ye, you all, are God's building. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together and for this place and for these ones. And we'd ask now, as a mere lump of clay opens this book, that your Spirit would open hearts and minds. Help us to see Christ high and lifted up. Father, don't let me get in the way. And do what you can do as no one else can. Move your word from these pages to our hearts and minds, we pray. Let it be a supernatural experience that we delve into here today. That you would get glory and honor, prestige, reputation from our time together here today. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 1977 brought this sailor to New Orleans, Louisiana, to serve on the Admiral's headquarters, the Inspector General's staff, and spend the next number of years traveling about 220 days a year. I haven't exactly figured this out. Jeff and I were talking about this the other night, but Christmas 1978, Vernon Schlieff put out a Christmas letter to every chapel in this country. And I think actually it came out in 77, but it was dated 78. So we haven't exactly figured that out. He had a vision for planting New Testament churches and planting that vision in young men. I was not as hoary-headed at that time as I am today. I was about 33, and young and virile and a good-looking young guy. Anyway, thank you. That was a courtesy amen. But he was looking for young men in their 20s who would come to Louisiana, work a job, and do discipleship with him. I got this letter, Christmas, 77, I believe. And I had only been saved a couple years, and I thought, man, study the Bible. This is for me. This is what I want. I need. This is great. And I called him on the phone. Vernon Schlieff lived in Belchess, Louisiana, which is downriver from New Orleans on the west bank of the Mississippi River. And I called him up and I said, listen, I want to learn the Bible. I don't meet any of your criteria. I'm not young. I don't want to work a job in Belchess. I'm not single, but I want to learn the Bible. And he said to me, well, come and have dinner with me and we'll talk about it. I went over that Tuesday and Mrs. Schlieff, I call her mom, fed me. And it was the beginning meal of 10 years of every Tuesday nights spent eating at their table and then eating the Word of God every evening. It changed my life. If you're a young man here today, and that could go up through 32 or 3 or maybe 60 or 70, I would encourage you to find a man that you think is a mature believer, somebody not just a say-so Christian, but someone who lives the life, and ask him if he'd disciple you. Same thing with you ladies. Find a mature, older lady and ask her if she would disciple you. Discipling isn't like seminary. It's where men go to die spiritually, which is really true. Anyway, it's about implanting a vision in younger men and women's hearts and minds that they can count for God. I don't care who you are here today, God has a wonderful plan for your life. And the only reason we're here is to figure out what that plan is. And an older person who loves the Lord with all their heart and all their soul and all their mind and loves their neighbor like themselves can plant that vision in you too. And my life has never been the same since that Tuesday night dinner. And he was really harsh with me. He said, well, he said, I don't know if I can help you or not. How serious are you about God and his things? I said, well, I don't know. I haven't been saved long enough to know, but I think I'm pretty serious. He said, well, listen, are you willing to put an hour a day into serious study of your Bible? I said, I don't know. I think so. I'm willing to do anything. He said, now, I'm not talking about quiet time. You know, you sit and schmooze with the Lord and go away feeling good. I'm talking about serious study. You get your reference books out and pad and pencil and Bible, and you work at this thing, an hour minimum. I said, I'll do anything it takes. He said, well, if you'll do that, an hour a day, I'll meet with you every Tuesday night for 3 hours. And that began a 10-year study that changed my life. It began in 1978, and about the middle of the year, the Lord brought a strange fellow into my life. A tall, lanky guy who had much more hair at that time than he does today, who was down there for dental training, Dr. Johnson. He decided where he could go and learn this skill that he was trying to learn, which nobody has yet figured out what it is, but and for I have no idea. I guess the quality of the school, huh? Picked LSU and came down there to learn this skill. They told him of all the places not to live, don't live on the West Bank. And Dr. Johnson, being the man that he is, where do you suppose he lived? On the West Bank, right. He met a man here in Carolina at a workers' conference that said, you ought to come to New Orleans and do discipleship. I don't care about that dental practice stuff. You need to know the Bible. And he came. That man was Vernon Schlieff. And your day was Sunday? What day was your day? Sunday. Every man had his day. Mine was Tuesday. Vernon, think of this, men and women. Vernon Schlieff had a different man every day of the week. There were seven of us. They never had a meal by themselves. They never had an evening sitting in front of TV to relax by themselves. There was a man in their life every day of the week. I was Tuesday, Jeff was Sunday. There were others on other days. He literally poured his life into us. In 1980, Jeff moved back to North Carolina. I felt a huge mistake. And every chance I got, I called them and told them so. They were supposed to stay in Louisiana, keep me company. I was lonesome. But Vernon and I prayed that God would use Jeff Johnson in North Carolina. Well, Jeff decided to go to Greensboro, and there he met some other men. Steve Andrews, Andy Burgess, Jerry Denny. And at a Southeastern Workers' Conference where both Jabe Nicholson and Boyd Nicholson, his father, preached, they talked about planting New Testament assemblies. And the story, as I got it, said that this meeting began with a passing in the hallway of those three men. And they talked about that ministry, and they all had a link to Reidsville, North Carolina. And they thought how good it would be if we could start a meeting in Reidsville, North Carolina. That was 1988, a Tuesday night. On a Tuesday night, they began a Bible study in Dr. Johnson's office. There were four men, eight people. Steve and Kim Andrews, Andy and Loretta Burgess, Jerry and Karen Denny, and Jeff and Jan Johnson. They met to study the Bible on Tuesday nights. They were still going to Shannon Hills every Sunday and Wednesday night prayer meeting, and things kind of rocked along. in May of the next year, they decided it was the Lord's timing to begin a meeting here. And with the blessing of the elders at Shannon Hills Chapel, they met at the YMCA and broke bread for the first time and continued the Bible study and prayer, shifted from Tuesday nights to Wednesday nights at the doctor's office. In September, we think it was, of 96, they brought a now older fella from South Louisiana up here to stick a shovel in the ground. In answer to 11 years of prayer, we stuck a shovel in the ground right here and prayed that God would build a mighty work right here.